Up next from Emerging Communications 2008, Anders Karlias of Terranet describes their ad hoc GSM mesh networking technology and business model. It allows local entrepreneurs to roll the technology out one village at a time. From IT Conversations.
The next person on stage is Anders Karlias. He is the CEO of Terranet. And I'll tell you a little story about Terranet. Hopefully I don't eat your time. I'm in talkative mode. I think it was a coffee. I was reading the BBC News, and I thought, hell, this company is fascinating. And yet, I'd never heard of them. I thought, this is so cool, it's got so much potential. So I went to Google, I started trying to hack away email addresses to make contact. I left voicemail. Nobody replied to me. I couldn't believe it. Usually I'm quite good at getting replies from people. I chased and I chased. Eventually got your mobile. You did very well ignoring me for a long time. You were the hardest speaker to get hold of. And it was only later on I found out when we got in conversation that Terranet is actually being bombarded by people doing what I did, Googling up their email addresses, calling them. This gentleman here was getting 500 emails a day from the general public. And the irony of it is they don't sell anything to the public. So I'm really pleased that you're here and you can let people know what you do. And I think I would imagine you're going to start selling to the public later on if you're getting hit with 500 emails a day from the public and you don't have anything to sell to them. So please tell us what you've been doing.
Thanks. This has kind of started out a little bit different. I mean, we start out here saying ad hoc mesh networking with GSM. What we're really saying is this is a $240 billion market that's untapped. So this speech is, or lecture or whatever it is a $20 billion a minute kind of speak, right? And the first thing I want to tell you is what we do. We do a mesh technology that works directly phone to phone. So basically you remove the base station and within a kilometer from each other, talk directly, phone to phone. A lot of people say, well, it kind of looks like a Wi-Fi. Well, the biggest difference here is you don't get a kilometer on Wi-Fi. And the second thing is, and this is mainly for really low bandwidth stuff, like voice and texting, so no really cool services that you can do with video, etc., but a lot of good stuff in low bandwidth. The second thing you do is, with a mesh phone, meshing, you get up to about 7 hops, really depends on, and then the latency grows too much, so you kind of lose after that. But in this kind of mesh network, you reach as far as you really want to go, to normal campus, etc., to normal village. When we looked at this technology, we got a lot of people calling in, telling us, well, you know, I have a great idea, this is something that we should do. We said, well, Let's look at all the different things we can have. Social telephony, that's the developing nations. Disaster rescue after Katrina or whatever. Campus payment system, we have a special payment system, prepaid system, to be able to work this around. Machine-to-machine communication locally between, you know, Coca-Cola machines, corporate military, blue light, and even offloading networks. For regular operators who want to run this in the normal handsets, but if you're locally, within this room, for example, or within a larger venue, you'll never touch a base station. You'll call directly from phone to phone. When looking at this, we ended up with just kind of saying, okay, we need to focus on one thing. We focused on the bottom of the pyramid. Normally, people say, and what we've been talking about for the last 1.5 days, is really the top, the hot red stuff. These are the ones that you usually focus on and say, okay, this is the people that have a lot of money, a lot of revenue coming in to you, and the bottom pyramid you don't need to care about. Eventually, we'll reach them anyway with all the stuff that we have. And through the economy of scale and great operators, we'll reach them. The problem today is it's very hard to reach them at all. You're trying to push the limit down on the prices to get these kind of phones out, but this huge market size, and it's somewhere in between 3 or 4 billion users, and then you even have people left in this kind of excluded area, which are the really poor people. Those are the people that don't really afford food every day. But the rest of the people, 4 billion people, are the people that you would normally see, you know, serving pizzas, cleaning your floors, etc., here, or living in South America, Africa, India, China, you know, major part of the world. But they don't use phones at all today. The problem with looking at those kind of numbers is that what you see at market size, what could these people pay? Well, approximately between $3 and $5 in average revenue per user per month. And if you ask them how much would you pay, or if you really let them, how much do they pay for their first handset, their own first handset? Between 1 and 1.5 months' pay is the amount of money they put on the first handset. And when coming back to your own situation, I can't even imagine you guys paying for anything more than a car, basically, that you'll only use for a few years, in that kind of price range. But in this kind of space, which is approximately 25% of the business, there's no competition. There's no one doing anything whatsoever. If you ask the operator, if you go down to Ecuador, go down to Brazil, you go down to a large part of India, Indonesia, you ask them, so what are you doing in this marketplace? We're not doing anything. Not worth it. There's no money there. So when we look at this market with our technology, we said, okay, we can reach all those 24%. And we were lucky enough to say that in a BBC article. And that can when hell break loose in the mailboxes and the phones, etc. So people are calling us to get the stuff. So what are the needs? I mean, the different needs that they have. This is a need that they don't really tell you the first thing that when you ask them, but the security. If something happens, I can call someone just nearby. The second one is really the fun stuff, and this is something that kind of integrates to most of you in the audience. It's calling home. This is someone who has been, as a kid or whatever, moved to the city. He's calling home to his parents saying, are you okay? I'm going to come home on Saturday. Is that okay? Do you need anything more? A lot of people think that it's the elderly or someone else out in the village who's going to call the city. That's not true. That's the other way around. The third one, and which is very, very important, is market. If you introduce handset today in these marketplaces, you get an increase of productivity by 30%. And this is UN numbers, 30% the first year. It's an enormous change. That makes those people, I mean, really want the new phone, their first phone. And you say, okay, so I've heard of, you know, the smaller base stations, the really cheap stuff. You even got Ericsson, who is, you know, a few hundred meters from our offices in Lund, Sweden. They're giving them away. The problem, though, is that you shouldn't take them if you're an operator in these countries. The people are hard to acquire, basically because the cost is too high for a handset sometimes. But a lot of times, it's just, you know, getting the people out in the village. They're not there. You don't have a shop there. There's no Vodafone Live store or something like that. They generate a lot less revenue, and you got higher CapEx and a lot higher OPEX of them. We had one example of an operator who got rejections of 95% of their billing. 95%. There's no customer care that can really handle that. Mostly because people don't really understand what they bought. But you really need to consider how to handle that. So we build a phone, a true phone, real thing. Hold to your ear, you dial with it, etc. Well, we got a few ones without any buttons. We got our simplest phone is a 3-button phone. That's a total number of buttons on the phone is 3. And they're priced between $30 and $75. This would be a typical market for them. And it's social telephony. So it's developing nations. That's what we're focusing on. All of you guys who are kind of interested in technology and we heard some radio stuff before, I mean, routing. So if you would introduce this to a normal handset, you would get approximately a kilometer. If you use this for 2.4 gigahertz radio frequency, you get 880 meters, 1 megabit of data stream on a 111 dB link budget. We can get longer than that, but that's the amount of range that we have. We started out doing this with normal GSM chipset, but not too many of the chips manufacturers are too fascinated about us competing with them as they see it. And again, user functions, voice. You really have to adjust for voice, for example. The audio codecs are not very good with a lot of languages that are outside the, you know, European or American kind of style. So if you go to Indian languages in South America, if you go to Hindi languages, etc., you really need to adjust the codec, for example. We do that kind of stuff. And texting. Simple texting really works for them. And then putting in products like IP gateways, etc., is, you know, really enabling us to do this kind of as a business. But the big thing, that's the big difference, is that this kind of a small village, little yellow ball up here, it's a 1,000-person village. You start out with two phones. These two phones are kind of, you know, a long time ago they called walkie-talkie. Okay, so two people can call each other. Sure, it's encrypted and it's you still dial a number, etc. But that's what happens. You start out with just a few people. With more people buying it, you don't have to base a full infrastructure right away. Instead, you kind of have a small gateway, an IP gateway, which is fairly cheap. You can get it on a USB stick and have the computer do routing for you. You charge the user $3 to $5 a month for what you would call free calling. And then you just kind of duplicate this in nearby villages. So you don't do an entire nation at once. You do part by part. You actually see you have revenue flowing in into your system or to the operator's system all along. And that way you make money. And you get a really good flow of this. So implementation is fairly simple. So you do small scale, village for village, and have local people earning money in the villages, doing all the support, doing all the rollouts. The push for this, on this kind of new market, is really from the government side. The government are pushing for this to be kind of crossing the digital divide for a lot of people. It improves the rates that they're getting from the UN Bank, for example, by a substantial amount. And they're seeing if you go from a small nation or a large nation comprised of people that don't earn that much money, and you ask some of the big operators to address the entire nation with, you know, 90% coverage or so, they'll say, no thanks. We'll cover the main capital and maybe three more cities, but that's about it. So we do complement to GSM. We expand the business case for operators. And the funny thing about this is that even though we don't have any real products out in the marketplace yet, we have real customers, real technology out now. So we're really addressing this a bit differently. And compared to a lot of other people who are addressing this with, you know, Web 2.0, et cetera, these are people who want to call, they want to call home, they live just next door. So that's the one. I'm just going to end with a small slide here. So we say that we have coverage where it's needed. And I mean, if we would be in the campus market or ski market, this is, you know, a complete trip. And that's where it's needed. Since you bring the network with you, you'll always in coverage, right? And that's the good part about it.
Let's do a minute and a half of Q&A to Anders.
Do you use like zero configuration networking or something? I mean, what's the underlying technology behind this? If you can tell us anything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely use zero configuration for a lot of the things. And we use vCards for sending information. We use two-phase encryption to do the stuff, although I have to think about how to do that with low latency. We use new radio technology. One of the inventors of Bluetooth is on our team doing the radio stuff. So, I mean, a lot of the things that people don't think about is really this is the power consumption getting low enough for you to be able to have this in your pocket. And that's what we do differently.
Last question.
I live in Oakland, California. We have about 600,000 people there, live there, and about a third are what we would think of as underprivileged. And you know, can you work in industrialized countries to serve underserved populations?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen places like Texas coming and ask us, places like New York. So we've seen that. The problem, though, is compared to the demand that we have at the moment, we're underfunded enormously.
I don't think we have time. We've got 10 seconds. We can't do a question.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
You've been listening to a presentation from the Emerging Communications Conference.
The post-production audio engineer for this program was Andy Dolph. Our website editor was Larry Press. The series producer is Sathyesh Chakravarthy.
This is Phil Wendley. I hope you'll join me next time for another great presentation from Emerging Communications here on IT Conversations.